This is Pastor Denny here with another 15 in quarantine. We'll spend at least 15 minutes in God's Word. It's Wednesday, April 8th. So it's good to be with you tonight again. I'm going to, again, kind of stall for about 30 seconds to a minute to let some people get on. But while we wait for people to get on, let's just recap what we've talked about briefly here. Last Friday, we talked about, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's important, because through the Lord Jesus Christ, he shed his blood. He's the one that sacrificed himself for our sins. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies with God, he died for us. And through him and him only, through simple faith, we can have peace with God. Then we're justified, declared righteous. Then we went on to verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's important. Wherein we stand. Do we realize where we stand? Our standing before God is holy and just and blameless, accepted and beloved, absolute forgiveness of sins. We're righteous. And then last Monday, a few days ago, we went on into not only so, but we glory in our tribulations. We talked about tribulations and having the proper outlook so we can have a proper outcome. And that's where I want to start today. So let's read a few of these verses here, and then we'll get started. We'll just recap. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we're in Romans chapter 5, verse 2 now. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in our tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, as we take a few minutes here, roughly 15 minutes in your word, Lord, we just ask for your blessing upon it, that we'll be changed more and more into your glory and be more firm in your word, more firm in who you are and who we are in you. And also, more importantly, that we're willing to share your love with all those around us. Thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are. We talked about outlook, the outcome, and what we're kind of talking about here. We talked a little bit about our outlook, that we need to go into our tribulations because we have them all through our life. Trials and troubles and all kinds of things come and go. Some are small, some are really big. And obviously with the whole coronavirus situation, that compounded so many things for all of us, and sometimes in a very great way. So trials come, but Paul says we should glory in them. So we saw about our outlook, that we should glory, realizing that as a believer in our life, God will work things out together for good, that there's an ultimate end to it, that even throughout all of eternity, there's glory out there. Nothing's compared to what will be revealed in us. We just looked at that whole idea that we have benefits of going through these things when we go through them with the Lord. Then we went into patience, that we have that right attitude to endure our tribulations, our troubles. Why? Because this patience is an enduring, meaning you're looking forward to a good outcome. That's the type of patience it's talked about. But now we're here today talking about our outcome. That's our outlook. But here's our outcome. The first part of our outcome is experience. This word here, experience, means to be have like a tried character. It means proof. It means approve. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 2:9, when he was writing again to the Corinthians, we're not going to get into all the details, but there's the same word as here that's used here. Different English word, but same Greek word. It says, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. So this idea of experience is the same word proof here, that he wanted to know, did you listen to the words that I wrote to you before? Did you obey them? Because you're going to be someone different compared to the person that you would have been by not obeying him. Same here. Here, one of the outcomes to going through tribulations with the Lord, in the Lord, you come through with experience. Now, yes, you can come through tribulations with a bad experience. If you choose not to be in the Lord, if you say, Lord, I'm not going to worry about you. You know what? I got this. And then something happens. You experience an insult. You experience an injury or a rejection or something. Then your emotions keep building up. And you're like, all right, what's my flesh telling me? What's the world telling me? And then sooner or later, you experience disappointment. Then later on, I want to make sure. Okay, everyone can hear. Okay. Sorry, I had a hearing comment there. But this idea of you walking in your flesh instead of choosing to go through and experience the Lord, experience can be a bad thing. Eventually, disappointment will come if you listen to your flesh. If you say, world, what do you have for me? I'm not going to go to God's word. Well, disappointment will come. Then eventually, maybe fear and anger and all these other things come. Then there's a lot of times things that will lead to depression is that maybe you'll get down on yourself. I can't do it. I'm a failure. I can't. You refuse to look at God's word to realize, you know what? Here's where you are. Here's how God looks at you. But you look at the world, then depression might come, despair. All these things will come. So your outcome could be pretty bad if you looked at, went through your outlook of not looking to the Lord. But here, let's stay on track with the good. We decided to say, what does God's word have for us? We saw the truth that he will work things out together for good. So coming out in the Lord, our experience, our tried character will truly be a change in our life for the good. And I want to move on because these next things are connected together here. So experience, you will come out the other end truly being more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Experience him, allowing the Holy Spirit to try and prove you, which comes out to being someone better, someone more equipped and more able to take on more things, more able to stand on the word of God instead of being shoved this way and shoved that way and so on and so forth. So now we come to hope. Hope here is defined as a confidence, a confident expectation. So he says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Not ashamed? Why? What does that word mean? It means that you will not be let down, but you will be lifted up. So hope will make you not ashamed when you allow the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, into your life through these trials, these struggles, and the things that are going on in life, even right now. Part of your experience, what it will breed is hope, a real hope that you can come out holding your head up high and say, you know what? I got the next thing coming. I can take it on. Lord, thank you for getting me through it. I know who you really are. Next time, when I got to turn to your word and trust you, it's going to be easier because I experienced you. I came out through, unlike the world, when you come out listening to them, you're going to come out hanging your head low because the world will let you down. Your flesh will let you down. But here, the hope that comes out of trust in the Lord, giving it over to him and going forward in him for your trials and your tribulations, you come out holding your head high. Why? Because you were not let down. It was a hope that maketh not ashamed. So this experience and this hope is the byproduct of having a proper outlook. When you go through, when you have that proper outlook, when you stand in who you are in Christ and saying, God, I know you have this, you told me. I'm not going to listen to my emotions and base my actions off my emotions. I'm going to turn to your word first. Step out in faith first, and then allow you, your spirit, to produce in my life. That experience, that evidence, that is what you need, and that's what you want, and that's what you will get. So hope will not make a shame. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. It's amazing. One of the best things in God's word. To truly know who you are, you can sit here, study God's word, take a written test that, oh, hey, I know who I am in Christ. Christ says, I'm saved. It says, I have absolute forgiveness of sins. It says, I'm seated in the heavens. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings. I can take a test and say all these things that Christ says who I am. But it isn't until you step out in faith, truly believing who you are in Christ, does things really happen. And this is one of them. The Holy Spirit literally witnesses with your spirit through all of this. So when you come out on the other end, I think that's the biggest blessing of them all. Hope makes not a shame. Why? Because the Holy Spirit reveals the very love of God, the love that God has for you. When he says about that in 1 Corinthians 2, when he says that we have the ability to know the mind of God. Why? Because we have the very Spirit of God living within inside of us. And when we go through by faith and he produces in our life, what a glory that is, that God, you can see his shed love because the Holy Spirit reveals that to you, to your own spirit. We talk about people say you have a blind faith, but you know what? We as believers, just like that hymn says, that the things of this world go strange and dim in light of his glory and grace. The other hymn that's slipping my mind now, but the hymn that says, you ask me how I know he lives. Well, how do you know he lives? He lives within me. And that's so true. He will witness with you the very love of God. He'll shed it. He'll open it up, allow you to see God had you the whole time. And then you come out with a true, tried, and tested character, knowing tomorrow when things come again, I can quickly, more quickly, turn to God's word, trust him, because I've experienced God in my life. That's why Paul constantly said that he wanted to know him more, to know him in the power of his resurrection. In his sufferings, he gloried. Why did he glory? Why did he say we glory? Because that's when we always turn and rely on God the most. And that's a challenge for us, that we should rely on him in the good and the bad. But usually sometimes it's in the bad that we turn to him and trust him and then see him work in our life. Don't ever forget the reason, all the times that he's gotten through your good or your hard times. But this idea also is shed abroad in our hearts. There's a water park that where I grew up at. It was a little ways away, but the water park we went to, and when they redid it, they had this big bucket that would fill up with water. And it was a kid's water park. The kids could run around, play, and shoot the water guns and whatnot. But the whole time, this huge bucket was filling up with water. And that reminds me of us right here. When God says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Because we know that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. It's kind of like that big bucket at that water park filling up with water. We know the love of God. We know we're going to get to experience the love of God in our life. Sometimes when you start out in your tribulation, the hard times, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen when you lost your job or lost a loved one, or you don't know what's going to be tomorrow, what's going to happen with the economy, all these different things. But you see that huge bucket of water, you know it's getting filled up. To the point that at the end of it all, when it says hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. That word shed abroad means he literally, the Holy Spirit will dump it out on you, will pour it out. So much so that it's more than enough. It overflows in your spirit, the very power and love of God. That's pretty powerful. That bucket of love, when you finally grasp the fact that yes, God's here. I can get through this. And you're fully committed. You experience that the Holy Spirit will witness with your spirit. Why do I say about the Holy Spirit witnessing? Because one of the great hopes that we have is a hope of eternal life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he says, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That comes right after Paul got done saying, do not walk in the flesh. If you do, you're going to experience the works of the flesh, which are nothing but dead things to God. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will experience life. You will experience peace. And part of that experience is the very Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, reveals himself, has access to your whole being to work in your life, to produce a good outcome in your life, a good experience, a good hope, a good witness saying you really are the son or the daughter of God. You really are mine. And I will get you through this. And then he reveals the very heart of God, saying, look, God had you the whole time. Whether it wasn't the outcome that you wanted or not, you know he's there. He's in control. And the peace that comes, the comfort that comes, the love that comes, all why? Because you took the time saying, I need to invest in my relationship with the Lord. I need to look to his word when hard times come. I need to quit looking to the world saying, what does it have to offer? I need to quit looking to myself and thinking I can do it on my own. Realizing that, one, we have a standing before God. We have access to God himself at all times because of the Holy Spirit within us. It's an awesome time to be in the dispensation of God's grace, as Paul calls it. Because when we go through these hard times and we say, God, I want to look to you, it's a wonderful thing. So my challenge is to you tonight before we leave. Will you respond? Will your outlook, your response be in the flesh when tribulations come? Because if they will be, the patience that you have throughout that whole trial, that whole tribulation, will produce evidence of that will be the fruit of the flesh. It might be full of regret. It might be full of anger. It might be full of remorse and grudges and all these other things. And then the hope that comes out of the flesh is a full expectation that only bad's going to happen. Only evil's going to happen. Nothing good. But if you, as a believer, say, you know what, I'm going to respond in the spirit. I'm going to take God's word for what it says, that I can glory in these tribulations. Then what happens? The Holy Spirit's at work. The fruit of the Spirit will be produced in your life. Your evidence will be a character that now is producing love, is producing forgiveness maybe to someone that's wronged you, that's producing edification in your life so you can hold your head up high, knowing it and being unashamed of who you are in Christ, knowing you're always being taken care of. And then your hope will be full of worth and purpose. That full expectation that good will come. And I know it will come because I got to experience it. So my challenge is to you today, look at that. Joseph was one of them. Still got another minute or two, so I'll use him as an example. Joseph, if you don't remember that story, he was a boy that his brothers were very jealous of him. They sold him into slavery. But as he grew up, he was sold as a slave under Potiphar. But then he became an officer of Pharaoh. Potiphar's wife accused him of adultery and things like that. He was completely innocent the whole way through, and hard things kept coming. But you know what? His outlook was always, God, wasn't God, why did you do this? I can't believe you did this to my life. No, his outlook was, I'm going to keep looking to the Lord. And because of that, he kept growing and growing in stature in Pharaoh's, in his kingdom. So eventually, he became second in command, next to Pharaoh. And then eventually, he got to meet his brothers one day, the very ones that sold him into slavery. Joseph had all the means in the world to throw them in jail, to have them killed, everything. But his outlook, God, he experienced God. Part of his outlook wasn't just him rising to fame and everything else, but the part of his outlook, or not his outcome, sorry, was also the ability to forgive and to love his brothers as God loved him. Even though they thought evil against him, as he said, you thought evil against me, but God meant it to good. So when people cross you, when hard times come, part of your outcome will be, I can forgive that person. Because even though they were out to get me or hard times came, God always means it to good for in my life if I choose to love him. And then the very love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. That gives you the ability, one, to experience God's love, but also to share it and be God's love to others around you. So, glory in tribulations, love, and then you'll get to experience the very love of God that will truly be poured out, dumped out, more than you can handle into your life. So turn to him first in these hard times and experience it, and then you can start sharing it with all those around you. One other last verse of finish too. Another reason why Paul said the glory was because God answered Paul once and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul said, you know what? Then most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Pretty much the same thing here. He's going to glory, and we should glory, because the very power of God will be revealed in us and shed abroad in our hearts. Lord, we just want to thank you for this day, and thank you for your word. Allow it to truly transform us to be more like you in your image. And thank you so much, especially for the truth, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, to die for our sins, a payment that we couldn't pay for, but he did. So while we were yet sinners, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for us. While we were enemies, he died for us. And now he offers that free gift of salvation, a payment that can be applied to our account that says we are paid in full, we are justified, we are righteous, if we simply believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Especially thank you for that free gift of salvation by simple faith alone. And thank you again as believers, as we walk through this life, we can turn to you knowing that you have good for us in our life. And the more we walk by faith, the more we experience that, and the more we know. And what a wonderful thing it is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful evening, and we will see you Friday night, but not here for 15 in quarantine, because Friday night will be a Good Friday service. So we will see you online for our full service at 7 p.m. here. Well, we'll be broadcasting from here. So good night and God bless. Thank you.